his face again. That's why your love keeps on lifting me higher, higher and higher. I said your love keeps on lifting higher and higher. All right.
Shall enhance the unexpectedly. Yeah, we got an extra time. Way to go, Tressie. You saw it. Cool. Yeah, we're. I logged in and it started the show and told me I had 9 minutes left, and it wasn't the 9 minutes we even wanted right now tonight. So I just got off the phone and we're good to go for an hour and a half if we want to go that far. And what I'm going to do as soon as I get myself, where's the studio? There it is. Okay. Let me try this again. Let's see. So that song I just played will sound a lot better if you hear the beginning of it first, I think. We're going to try that.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud. Shall enhance
We shall behold him, and it's going to be very soon, I hope. I believe it's today. I'm going to bring everybody on the air. I think I ended up, if you aren't aware, the show was a little bit scheduled actually for the last hour. I logged in early and told me I had 9 minutes left. So I called them, and now we have till, well, it would be 9 o'clock our time, my time. Anyway, we have a minute and 24 minutes, or an hour and 24 minutes left. And so hopefully maybe we can play a little bit more music today and then cover some other things. We have three people here on the line. Let me bring them on. That should be Tana.
That is correct. Hello. I love you.
Hi, Tana. How are you? I heard you had a victory in your game last night.
Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was praying the whole time because it was really close, and we ended up winning 23-19. It wasn't my best game, but, you know, my team did really well. Gave God all the glory. And if I would have listened to Jesus a little bit more in my batting, I would have done better, too. But he was trying to tell me, like, don't hit – or hit that one, hit it, and I didn't hit it, and it was a strike, and I struck out. I just have to trust in the Lord, you know, and sometimes when I step up to the plate, I let my, the enemy tries to get me and, like, bring my self-confidence down, and I don't trust, but then if I'm tuned into Jesus, I always do well, and so I started tuning to him, and then, of course, I didn't listen to him at one point, but,
You know, it's funny. You know,
like telling me I'm a hitter. You know, you can do it. You're a hitter. You know, and stuff like that. But
yeah, it's tuned in. It's what.
Go ahead.
If we are to him, it's just hard sometimes to remember to do that in all of our circumstances. It really is. It's fun. Cool.
Seek him in everything, and he'll help us. And I usually do, and I try, but sometimes, you know, I let other things, you know, detour me. So, but yes, we seek him in everything. He helps us through everything and with everything. So,
yep.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
I love you. And I already apologize.
We love you, Jesus. Yep. Okay, let's see here. I'm not sure. Is this Keith?
It's Chris. Hey.
Oh, hi, Chris. Yeah. Well, it's you're the other 818. I thought, and I don't know, Tana, do you know if Keith
818? I'm 814.
Oh, that's right. Everybody. That's right. Well, I'm still getting my legs under me.
I have two 818 numbers.
Yeah, that's true. So, Tana, do you know if Keith is going to be in a position to call in tonight? Because I heard he might be actually moving.
He's traveling from Vegas to L.A. as we speak, but he might almost be to L.A. I don't know. Last time we called in on my phone when we traveled to Vegas, so I don't know what he's doing. I know he's with someone that doesn't listen to the RCC show, so he may not call in.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye out for him. And I want to bring Pat on.
How you doing?
Hi,
how's everybody? Hi, sweeties. Yeah.
We love you. We know that. We're good.
Wow. Love yous all. How you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, you need me on your team, honey. I hit them all.
Come on, Pat. You're going to be on my team. You can be on my team.
Oh, baby. I will win for you like you. Nobody's business.
Amen.
I don't miss it. No way.
There you go.
It's my favorite sport, that and volleyball.
Yeah, my sister was on a traveling softball team when she was younger, and she doesn't know it, or she probably already does because she's in heaven listening to rigmarole. So I always say she's going to be on my team too. So I hope she's
sure. How's Judy doing? Anybody have any update on Judy?
I think she's doing okay. She has still. This breathing thing isn't going completely away, but she's hanging in there.
Yeah, I know what she's going through because bronchitis runs in my family really bad.
Yeah.
So I have the minute I'm sick on the antibiotics, and then I'm fine, you know. And I have antibiotics for a bladder infection, so I know I'll be fine, you know. So we're all getting hit.
I really kind of think that's absolutely true. I mean, I know I had I've got an experience today. I'll do a mini preach on at some point, but yeah, you know, I think we're all there. And Judy's phone is on its last legs too, I think, and yeah, you know, it's just like everything.
Oh dear.
And
oh, it's everything.
And then
it goes through phones like off. People go flows.
Yeah.
Hey, that happens. Yeah, he's taking me off the TV. I can't watch TV anymore. I'm like, just get my news elsewhere because it's too distressing. So he says, don't watch the TV. So that's something new.
No, I think that's... Yeah, that's good. We quit watching all the network stuff. And,
me too.
And even a lot of the video stuff, places where
I don't
go,
watch it. I'll get Paul Bagley or somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Roman had another word from the Lord, not for the RCC, but for the world.
Yeah.
Did he send it to any of you? Because I can read it.
No. Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. That'd be great.
Surprised you didn't send it. Yeah.
He put it on his Facebook page. Let me go to his Facebook page and I'll read it off.
Okay.
Okay, he said, I was going to post a status and I asked Jesus what he wanted to say to the people. And he put in parentheses, you, meaning Facebook people. This is the world. This is the word that he just spoke through me from Jesus. He says, my people, my people worry me, for the time has come to depart, and they are not ready. I give them warnings after warnings, but still they refuse my name, my truth, and choose to believe their own lies and deceit that they have been taught by this world. This saddens my heart deeply, as I am more sensitive than most men. My son, tell them I love them and want them up here with me in my kingdom, and I'm not evil and do not choose to punish them, but have to, for I am just. My son, also tell them war is about to start, a spiritual war. Soon this will start very soon. Trust in my spirit, and I shall guard you and keep you from harm's way. I give my people escape from what is to come, and yet they still choose to stay and deny my gift to be with me with everlasting joy and peace, but still they choose to stay and not turn from their wicked ways and foolish ways. My ways are not their ways. They will rise and try and concur over me, but they will not succeed, for I am God. I shall take my bride now. The time is almost up. Be ready, my bride. Tell them I am pleased with my bride, for they have waited long and hard for my coming and remain still and pure. My ready bride will be brought out of the great and terrible day of the Lord, for they have listened to my warnings and chosen the right way. The day has come for them to enter my kingdom of glory and feast on my everlasting bread of life. These, my ready bride, will be treated like majesty and royalty. My everlasting love will be with them, burning in their soul, and their light shall shine brighter than any star. Tell those ones who are not ready and refusing my offer of salvation that I love them, and I would not wish or send any soul into the tribulation, for I love them, and they belong to me, and I will still give them a chance after chance to turn away and come back home to me. They need me, and in their hearts they know they do, for they feel empty. They will be free, and I shall rescue them from what is to come because I love them. I am giving you many chances now. This may be your last chance. Choose wisely, children, for your time is nearly over. The tribulation must start if you are ready or not. No matter what you may do, I will always love you and be there for you when you fall to catch you at your feet. Glory to God. That's from Jesus.
Wow, that's great. What a message.
Right. Yep.
Wow, that is so great. Beautiful. I had sent out a message from one called Jean Marie. She's 80 years old. This was in 2011. And there's more of these messages. Maybe I would just read one more because they're so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I thought he and I was tender. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, he loves us. So if you want, yeah, you know, if you want to, yeah, I can do it later or.
Yeah, we can do it a little bit later. I'll
yeah.
I think since we had a little extra time, I think I'll try to play a couple of songs through the show.
Sure.
And we can set it up after one of those.
Oh, sure.
I know Judy's in chat now, so she'll she can update her own condition. But I know that there was one thing we talked last night, and gave her a revelation a little bit, and basically said, we have seen in the world that the devil projects his plans into media and things, and he said he learned, and the Lord said he learned that from me, and I project my plans, and I give warnings and say what I'm going to do, and he gives actually stages of warnings usually, and anyway, so, you know, all of these things that we see, these scary messages and all that, we see from those who would do evil. You know, that's just a weak copying of what the Lord would do. And he has ultimate control. So, you know, he has projected these things, whether it's falling on a 10-year-old and making him a prophet and basically starting our entire rapture-centric church here and... Or, you know, in many other ways throughout history. And the prophets have all had their own characteristics. If you look in the Old Testament, they were all projected, you know, they're out of the ordinary, and the Lord asked them to do out of the ordinary things. And so, you know, here we are in an out of the ordinary time. And I think Romans' word, you know, certainly speaks of immediacy. And, you know, I think the word tribulation was what the Lord used there in that word. You know, but let's make it clear, God is removing his hand of protection. He's going to do it progressively. It's his, you know, how many of us have come to the Lord in a state of brokenness?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in this world who don't perceive themselves that way right now, and so he's going to increasingly take his hand in protection, and we are a part of that protection off of the earth, and he's going to allow more and more people to experience one kind of brokenness or another, and this is where they will be encouraged in their brokenness to find him. And it is all good. Judy's putting it's all good, Romans 8:28. And it is Romans 8:28. You know, all these things will work for good. And the Lord will take all of this. And he's not going to release his hand on anyone. And today I had a little extra time to kind of really spend with him and, you know, do what we do. And the biggest message was the word that he kept bringing me back to was the word he gave to me, be at peace. Be at peace in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that fits so well, really, with how, Pat, what you mentioned just now, and it sort of parallels Romans' word. And so that's part of the message for today. That he's brought through us.
Wait till I
him.
Read this other stuff later.
Wow.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, guys.
Yeah.
Get ready.
You know, our Lord Jesus, our pastor here, is really on it, as he often is, usually almost always.
Oh, yes.
through us, and we have the evidence on a daily basis. You know, he's speaking to us.
Yes. I'm much better because I've turned off the stupid boob tube, you know. So,
yep, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go, Pat.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Much better. Much better. And do you know, oh, this is funny, real quick, I was going to put on, I put on this beautiful music in the kitchen. Do you know the TV won't go on anyway? Somebody pressed some wrong buttons and it won't go on. So he was like, just, he says, okay, you can listen to the music. And he was like teasing with me, like, the thing didn't even go on. So I just went to, I had 10 things to do today, but I did them in peace. It wouldn't go on. And I won't, and I've got the big screen out here.
There
I mean, I don't care for it. One of these huge, you know, these fancy thin things you have that my grandson put it on. And I just will not put it on. I will not put it on. I'll save my electric bill, too. I won't put it on.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Oh, he's funny.
you know, I can tell you for sure, because I've watched this. I used to watch a lot of TV. And
yeah.
And grew up around it, and I can tell you that the number one, especially these days, the number one thing you'll get from television is tension. It doesn't matter whether it's
absolutely.
The commercials or the news or the programming.
Yeah.
The number
yeah.
one thing you're guaranteed to get out of television is tension.
Yeah.
So turning
because
it
goes
off
against our
it.
Spirits. It goes against
right.
our love and belief. And also lies. You're going to be lied to, and you're going to get all upset over the lies. Lesson to Patricia here.
the way in which they try to get your attention is an assault on your peace of mind because
yeah.
they don't care how they get your attention. They just want
right.
it.
And
they want it's,
money.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. And or worse, and it's,
yeah.
you know.
Your soul.
So anyway, turning that thing off is a tremendous thing for peace of mind, and especially the stupid
yeah,
news.
Yeah, absolutely, it works.
Yeah.
So the heads up, guys, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Turning the stupid thing off works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, that's definitely one of the themes of the day. Pat,
mm-hmm.
how about I play a song and then we'll come back.
Sure.
And
I'll read you
and,
some nice stuff.
I'll see when I can come
this
up.
This woman is 80 years old. Oh, God bless her. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I when I called in, I have had a song in the studio that I've tried to have as a default. And for several days anyway, there hasn't been any song that would default start. Today when I called in, the next thing I knew, the show started automatically and it played this default song. So I don't know what's going
oh, you're
on.
Kidding.
But anyway, no. And so anyway, so we're good. We still have over an hour left now because we got it all redone.
Great.
But anyway,
great.
So here we go. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Higher and higher. Keep
love that song.
Up. Feeling it every day. Every day.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat.
Okay. This is an 80-year-old woman, 2011 May, and oh boy, my friend sent it to me. She had tucked it away, and she just happened to find it, and she gave it to me because we put it on. We're trying to get it on Joyce. So it'll go to over 4,000 people, but Joyce hasn't put it on yet. I got to get more. But anyway. Jean Marie, so this is it. And this is 2011. Again, just quick, this is not so much on rapture and stuff. This is more of you establishing a very intimate relationship with God, and it's like, here we go. He says, yes, it is difficult for you to write my words because you are feeling unworthy of such a demonstration of my personal love for your being. I ask you for this favor because your pattern of self-dislike is much apparent in the human world. It is a logical outcome of a world torn into disordered pieces. These messages that I ask you to make permanent upon the yellow pages, so she's writing them down, are for all those who seek a deeper relationship with my beating heart. I am your deepest longing. I am your deepest anxiety. I am your deepest fear of future happenings. I am your beating heart. I cannot separate myself from you who seek me in profound urgency. Once you allow my intimacy to wrap your emotion into a single cry, I will then be able to move in the depths as the God of love that I am. Focus, my beloveds, on the beauty of everything created, and you will see me in your hearts begging you for love. Nature is my gift to you who wish to understand my hiddenness. Some use nature to teach emotional incongruity, but I am in nature trying to draw you closer to my essence. If souls are not allowed to live in union with me every moment of their life force, then I am not fully connected to your perfection. All that you seek is found in my presence with you, and there is no other essence that can substitute for your happiness. Today and every day, I want you to beg me for your reason for existence, and I will show you how precious you are to the whole plan of creation. Ask me, and I will give you personal answers so you see your purpose in a unique way. Thank you, my beloved, for trusting yourself in this process. For that which you trust is my place in your life, and there is nothing else to wonder about. When you are made sensitive to my perpetual presence in you, you will stand away from all ungraceful circumstances. Living a solitary life is one requisite for my love to grow in your soul, so that an urgency is created which besets all of your moments. Do not shun this quiet insistence because it is a signal for a leap of growth in your soul. All has been directed in exact measures so that you are never overwhelmed. Since I am your creator, I know what my request of you is most needed. Allow me to direct all that you are in a mode of intense concentration. This does not mean that you have to focus upon my presence, and you know I will do it all. You simply give your permission for my act in you. And down here, he says, at 80 years old, you are ready to understand what your purpose has been upon the earth. So much must be experienced in order to see the whole essence of a life. Use your memory to enlighten your past and remember your passage through many roads, streets, and highways. Come, my little Jean Marie, and he's saying, put your name there, and I will show you what you have wondered about. Move your will into mine, and all will be seen by your inner eye. I delight to tell you these things because I love you with a divine intensity and do not want you to suffer further. Pray today in chapel, and we will begin our dance. and that's for all of us.
Amen. Amen. You know, that I really latched onto the word in there, the separation, you know, separate yourself, because I really believe we're on the cusp of the separation unto him. And I also believe that so many of us, if not all of us, who are regulars here and have, if you put your faith in Jesus and you believe in his coming, I believe you've seen and experienced in your life, whoever you are, an increasing power, an increasing presence, and an increasing sense of separation from the junk we see in this world and the blessing and the hope that we have in the future. He is not calling us to do human work in this world now. He's calling us to stand with him and to be ever more aware of his growing presence in us. And I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a love letter. These are love letters. I mean, just to have as intimate and close and trusting and loving and a relationship as we can with our God, you know, through his son Jesus, yes. Yes. As close as we can come. Don't leave him alone.
Yeah.
Have those arms out to him. Jesus, come into my arms. Put your head on my shoulder. Let me have your tears fall into my heart. Let me tell you that I love you. Let me hold you. It's my turn. I saw how much you love me. Your arms on the cross. It's my turn.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had, I'm not exactly sure how to describe it today. It's a little unusual. I've been in a really great place, and I, you know, even though there's some challenges, but, you know, just personally, I've just been in a really wonderful place, and today I had an experience where I almost don't even know how it happened. But it's like somehow probably one of my core weaknesses, which I'll just describe as an insecurity, was really brought to the surface. And it wasn't anything dramatic that brought it there. In fact, I had to really, once I realized that had happened, I had to really think about it and just to figure out how it happened, because it was very subtle, and you know, and really what it reminded me of and what I wanted to point out was that, you know, as we go from hour to hour and day to day here, we have seen so much decline. We have been very much aware spiritually and physically about the decline and the way things are shaping up. They've been prophesied for millennia, and all of those things are threats. And for some of those people, and particularly Christians, those threats have been lethal. But for many of us, it, many, many, many more of us, it has been an assault on our senses, an attempt to place fear in the hearts of people by certain spiritual and physical elements. And you know what it reminded me of is that as powerful as a weapon, you know, can be, whether it's a sword or a gun or a tank or whatever, you know, our greatest weaknesses reside within us, and we have to remember that while we cannot completely escape that while we're in our physical condition. It's part of how we were born. It's part of how we have to live until we're transformed physically. But spiritually, we have a victory over these things. And when we begin to see our weaknesses being assaulted and attacked, if you will, we have to recognize that, you know, they come from within us, and we have to turn them back. And, you know, we have to not validate them We can't help the fact that whatever these things might be in our specific persons, you know, they come out of our experiences or our lack of experiences or whatever they are. These great weaknesses, that the greatest ones that we face, are within us. And we have to be willing to confront those. And one way to confront them is just to lay them on his, you know, at his feet and just say, Jesus, Lord, just deal with this. Take these things, you know, and make them not real, because so much of the rest of what we're experiencing here is an increasing presence of the spiritual reality in the direction of our Lord. And the physical reality is becoming less and less significant to us because we see, you know, how awful and how also weak, by the way, it really is. And as we grow spiritually, these physical things that are around us really lose their power. But if the devil wants to make one final attack on you, he's going to do it with whatever is weak inside of you. And you can't help that you have weak spots, because we all have them. But what we have to do is realize what those things are and accept, by the way, let's accept that we have some weak spots within us, whomever we are and whatever they may be. But let's know that we can lay them at Jesus' feet and that we can walk away from them having done that. And don't give them life, and do not embrace your weaknesses, and don't live these things over and over. You've been spiritually healed. You've got a spiritual victory over these weaknesses. But if you're going to be attacked in this last hour, half hour, this last minute, the devil's going to try to do it with the weaknesses that are inside of you. And so stand strong and recognize the sensitivities that you have, and really, really trust in the promises and the victories that have already been achieved, and give yourself a break, by the way, for the fact that these things exist, because so many of us have had experiences, and probably everybody, if they would admit it, have experiences that they have no control over that have helped to create these weak spots. So he who created them also knows where they're at. And so when you are touched in a not-so-happy way, stand tall against these things and try to live beyond, and give yourself a break, and don't let the devil score an easy point by attacking you in your weak place. So stand tall and throw it and trust it, Lord. Here is my favorite song on the board about victory.
Looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case, and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. devil finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again, because I told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, where your dog fight, no child, no.
There it is. Johnny got a victory. So do we.
Woo-hoo!
We've already got the victory. Just got to live in it, people. Just got to live in it.
Amen.
Amen. Did everyone hear the sycamore tree and the center area died?
Yeah. You know who else died? You know what else died? Who else died? Robin Williams committed suicide. He was 63. Was just on.
I just saw that.
It was on the news. Yeah, on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And the sycamore tree is probably since the whole rebuild of the tower or whatever is very significant. What's going on? And I guess ISIS. There were some ISIS peeps in Gaza Strip now.
Yeah.
I just noticed something that Tanya, did you have anything else? Because if you did, I was going to let you go. I don't mean to stop you. Okay. Because that ISIS thing just reminds me of the whole Muslim Brotherhood thing. Because almost every day, I'm seeing clues that if you want to understand how things are lining up, the one organization in the Middle East that has affiliations with the actors that are most obviously bad actors at the moment, it's the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was thoroughly involved in all of the Arab Spring that went across North Africa. The Muslim Brotherhood is ISIS. The Muslim Brotherhood is Hamas, which is in running Gaza and in charge of all the rockets and tunnels. The Muslim Brotherhood is strongly affiliated with Qatar, which is the country where the owner of Al Jazeera TV network lives. And the Brotherhoods in general are affiliated with the secret societies, and which is the Illuminati and One World, all the One World people and all that. And Mary Greeley did a video the other day that I thought was very interesting. She's been tracking the flights over Iraq because of the problem with the Malaysian airliner over the Ukraine that appears to have been shot down. Airlines are more sensitive about, surprisingly, avoiding war areas, war zones. And as Gomer Pyle used to say, Shazam. She did a video several days ago where she was looking at the air traffic over Iraq. And do you know there was exactly one airline
that was freely flying over these embattled areas. And it was the Turkish airline. And she came to several conclusions along the lines of, well, you know, maybe they're trying to create another incident, so on and so forth. But I'm not sure she's aware that this ISIS group is really Muslim Brotherhood, as well as the other dark forces that even we have in this country. But that Turkey is run politically by the party that used to be the Muslim Brotherhood Party. And as of a few days ago, the head of that country, whose name is, as best I can handle it, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is the, you know, in English vernacular is how it's spelled. And his political party is the Muslim Brotherhood Party, and they just really strongly coalesced their power in Turkey, which has been a multi-faction democracy for a very long time. And the thinking is that his, and it's been very lightly reported, not surprisingly, by the secret society-controlled media. The thing is, there's a reason his airlines don't fear flying over the ISIS embattled areas, and that's because they know the Turkish airliners won't be shot down by them. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the actors quite possibly are about to be revealed. One of the strongest candidates I know, and I don't like to engage in this speculation very much, but this is kind of powerful. All of the political connections, Erdogan is tight with Obama, and they just announced that they're going to do another one of these flotillas to Gaza, which is going to put a lot of political pressure on Israel. There's another characteristic this man has, and I discovered this a while ago, but if you actually pull up, it's funny too, because he called the tactics the Israelis used in Gaza the same tactics as Adolf Hitler. Well, when people start throwing those kinds of accusations around, the loudest accusers are often the ones who are actually employing the techniques they claim to be criticizing. For example, if you live in a big city and there is a candidate for mayor who is very strong on crime, against crime, you better watch out that he's not controlled by the mob. Just an example. And this is a typical tactic. The point is, Erdogan, if you pull up a picture of him, like a front face, you know, a straight-on picture of his face, and you compare it to a face of Hitler when he was in his last 4 or 5 years of life, you will see an incredible resemblance.
Wow.
And without engaging any more speculation than that, you get the idea. I found it extremely uncanny. They're not exactly the same, but they're very similar. And, you know, I encourage you, if you have a moment, to actually do that yourself and draw your own conclusions. But when I did it and found pictures of a similar sort of amount of weight on the face and that sort of thing, I found it quite remarkable. It could be that this man, having coalesced his power in Turkey, and who's clearly involved in a lot of the support, for example, don't forget, even early on, he strongly was involved. He was almost leading the charge in the early days of the talk of invading Syria by Western powers. And then that all got shut down when the chemical weapons were proven to have come from the so-called rebels rather than the sitting government. And so they anyway, you know, for as long as we're here, or for those who may not be believers and might hear this broadcast, keep your eye on him, because he is a very interesting person. And there is a theory that the Gog and Magog referenced in prophecy is out of Turkey rather than Russia. So I'm just throwing that out there. It's something to consider. I don't believe there's any way to prove anything beyond that right now. But it certainly, it got my attention very, very much when I saw that he'd coalesced his power in Turkey, because it's not a country that traditionally, it's a country that traditionally has had many wings of power within the government. And he has found a way to dominate the coalitions and power structures in that country. Okay, we can move on to something a little lighter, I suppose, if anybody has it. Pat, did you have anything else you thought you might read?
Well, there is Lana, but there's also he and I.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
If you want me to do that.
I don't know. Why don't you pick one? I wanted to check in with Chris, are you near your phone? I want to check in with you and see if you...
Yeah, I'll see if you get Lana.
Right here. I'm just
okay.
Listening and praising and worshiping, listening to some Elevation
Good
Worship
for you.
Music.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, this is... I don't know, I mean, how encouraging this is to you guys, but it helped me. Past few days, I've been really, really, really... I don't know how many of you came from a worldly background to Christ, but I was raised in the church. I was raised a Christian, and I backslid most of my adult life, and I was a terrible person in the world. I mean, I justified my actions by calling myself morally good, but I was... terrible. I was in bar fights all the time. I was, you know, just constant drug use, alcohol abuse, just always something, you know. And I was when I got saved, one of my biggest problems in life was my ego. I had, you know, I did a lot of fighting. I fought tough man competitions. I was, you know, real cocky, real arrogant. And when I came back to the Lord, he told me he was going to break my pride. And he did. And the problem I've been running into the past few days, especially heavily, is temptation to go back to my old nature. And it's been really, really, I mean, really attacked. It's hard to explain because a lot of people don't usually go through it, but it pressures me because I don't like to be disrespected. I'm a big Italian weightlifter. I don't like to, you know, I don't, you know, it's just not my nature, you know. And when Christ broke me, I became humble. You know, and people see that. And my Christian friends, well, not so much my Christian friends, but my Christian boss takes advantage of that. He knows that about me, and he's very disrespectful to me. And I have to, you know, I have to fight my nature to keep from, you know, when he says something disrespectful or... You know, and I just want to, you know, I'm like, you know, one smack across this guy's head, and he'd never speak to me like that again. You know, and I have to fight nature. You know, and that puts a lot of pressure on me, and it emotionally bothers me, because now that I'm, God has put me in touch with my sensitive side, the emotion, that emotionally wrecks me that I have to tolerate this. You know, and... It's something that's really been bugging me. And I've been praying, and you know, and each night I go to sleep listening to my Bible app on my phone. I don't know if you guys have that, but I've been praying each night. I'm like, Lord, I just need encouraged. You know, I just need encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, I'm keeping myself humble. I forgive this man.
Yeah.
You know,
pray for him.
I stay where you've put me in the life that you've designed for me,
yeah.
And I turn the other cheek like I'm supposed to, and just stay humble and bite my tongue, you know.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
But I've been praying for encouragement, and this is what he's done for me the past 4 days in a row. Each night, you know, my Bible app plays through the night, and each night I have woken up once at 3:30 in the morning, once at 5:30 in the morning, and then once at my normal time for 6 o'clock to get ready for work, and then the other day was 6 o'clock getting ready for work. And every morning that I've woke up, there has been a scripture playing on my Bible app about the rapture. Every single morning.
Awesome.
And that's just really encouraged me, you know. One day it was in Mark, another day Matthew 24, another day 2 Corinthians, but every day it was something, you know, just it was just in his way of, you know, hey, I'm coming, you know, stay strong, stay where you're at, on my way.
I think that's really remarkable, Chris, because normally you would expect a spiritual sort of encouragement in those circumstances, and you're clearly getting a directed encouragement, but the directed encouragement you're getting isn't one of just spiritual encouragement, it's one of escape. How awesome is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Hang in there,
but I'll tell you, you know, what Pat said is really right. Make sure you have prayed for him. And I will tell you,
you
that
might
I
be the only one.
I have personally very innocently found myself in shock at the moment, spiritual attacks that put me in a very bad light, and it was simply the situation was constructed in a way that had nothing to do with what I was doing or thinking or any other thing, and it was a real challenge. But so I certainly can relate to what you're saying. But I would also say I've mentioned this before, I think probably I'm sure others have, but you really, what you should do in those circumstances is just say, thank God, you know, to yourself. Just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord for it, because the more often you do that, the more embarrassed, you know, the more embarrassed Satan's going to be trying to attack you that way. I mean, it's because... And I know it's hard, and I hear what you're saying about, I mean, it's kind of the whole, consider the whole kind of East Coast, like New York City kind of thing where, a typical greeting between a couple of guys if everyone will excuse my abbreviations, it's sort of like conversation starts FU and then once there's a mutual understanding, then you can move forward.
Well, it's just, I think to myself, I'm like, you know, And this is how I know that it's the enemy trying to get at me, because he's tried through my family, he's tried through old friends calling me up, hey, let's go out, have a couple drinks. He's tried through ex-girlfriends calling me up, hey, I miss you, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Millions of ways that he's tried, and this is just another way that he's tried. And I sit there and he puts in my head, you know, and I know this is Satan putting it in my head, you know, because he sits
there.
I think my brain,
that's right,
you know, if you hadn't have found God, you could have just looked at this guy and he would not have opened his mouth again, you know.
Yeah.
Right, that's right.
Wow.
That's
and
right.
I'm like, God bless you when you walk, you know? You do what God wants you to do. Then you have peace.
I am sure you're perceiving that correctly, because I don't know if you heard what I said earlier in the show, but, it was a completely different sort of kind of an attack, but I definitely had one today, and it was a different, completely different aspect of my existence, but I just, it was like this, it was so foreign to me that I had to really think about it to figure out what is going on with this. Oh, okay, well, it's basically it's just an attack. But I had to really sort of identify it because, quite frankly, I haven't been attacked in my internal person really for weeks and weeks, and I've been challenged but not attacked, and it does not surprise me that you've called up today with that story, because and think about the other messages that we've had, you know, what I was able to offer and what Pat had to read. And Pat, I think you mentioned you've got another one along these lines.
Oh, I have Lana. You're going to love this one.
Yeah,
Chris,
why don't we
how much time do we have?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. We've got 25 minutes left or
okay.
so.
Okay. But this is a little long, but it's good.
Okay, what I would like to do, Chris, you know what? I'm going to pray for you real quick. Father, we thank you for Chris's testimony today, because it's such a witness for anyone who listens here. These are the kinds of things that we all experience from time to time, and as your time grows near, really in the last minutes, we know that we'll be attacked at our weakest places, whether it's the places we're most familiar with or the most sensitive parts of our inner being. And we thank you because you held us, you hold every aspect of us in your blessing and protection. And we just need to remember to turn and hand them over to you. If they become attacked, and we know that our weaknesses are being attempting to be used against us, please remind us to lay them in your hands and allow you to take them and strengthen us by our turning to you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I will really want to do, and especially because Chris got an escape message, we'll try this.
Amen.
Seasons change, treetops sway, I am young today. Children play, side walk game, as I dream away, that someday I'll float away over the sunrise, leave this whole crazy world behind, so head straight for the stars. The keeper of my heart. Flowers bloom, sweet perfume, and I think of you. Crazy world behind, I'll head straight for the stars.
sweet song. That was sweet.
Love that song.
Oh, that was so sweet. Yeah, he's the keeper of our heart.
Yep.
You got that right.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
all right.
Pat.
Okay. This is called The Lid on Hidden is Being Lifted. You are about to soar into what you were created for. I felt the encouragement on my heart for the people of God who feel like they are in transition, that the Lord has spoken to them about being released further into their destiny through this season and the coming season and are in the waiting. I saw many of the people of God in a hidden place. It was a place of deep intimacy before Him, a place of deep rest, as they continue to dwell upon the dreams and promises that He has placed in their hearts. They dream together with their heavenly Daddy as they await manifestation and timing of release. There is such a newness birthing, new adventures, new dreams, new visions, new arenas and lands being entered. The dreams have been given by God, the promises released, and the people of God await the wheels to get them into this place of newness and destiny. I saw the lid being lifted on hidden, and the people of God that have been positioned in this waiting are about to soar into what they were created for. There isn't a striving. There isn't a self-promotion. There isn't a constant anxiousness of when, but a deep rest as they are brought to the place of ultimate delight in Him. Ultimate delight is to know Jesus, to be before Him, and to know His heart. The place of release is but an additional blessing upon the greatest blessing of all, to know Him. Unprecedented encounters are happening in this place before the throne. Daddy is releasing such deep revelation of His heart, His goodness, and His creativity that is wooing the people of God deeper into a divine dance with Him. Sounds familiar, what we just read. What would take years to build in the natural is being birthed in moments in the supernatural. Heaven has been whispering the time for stepping into destinies of what the people of God were created for are ringing in the hearts and minds of many believers. I want to encourage you, keep delighting in Him. Keep rejoicing in the audience of one. Keep swimming deep in the greatest delight and privilege of all, and that is to know Him. What you need for the coming season will and is being birthed through your intimacy with Him. The lift of this hiddenness is being lifted. Great promotion, favor, recognition, networking, and opportunities will be brought to your door. The Lord is bringing opportunities and opening doors that only He could open. It is not being brought to the people of God by striving, but by living in the ultimate delight and rest of knowing such a gloriously wonderful, amazingly beautiful, wonderful Heavenly Father who loves to bestow His love, blessing, and good gifts upon His children. Sift and risk. I saw a sifting taking place in the people of God's life where the Lord is sifting through things and lies that are holding the people of God back, relationships that are holding the people of God from moving into all He has for them in this upcoming season. I saw a sifting of mindsets and desires happening. In the sifting, I sensed the Lord's encouragement not to be discouraged, but know that the sifting is preparing you for the shifting. It is a shaking from the Lord to bring purification into your life, to be strong, purified, molded, tested, and fully prepared for what the Lord is about to release you into. I also sense the Lord's encouragement to not be afraid to take risks in this season. Where the Spirit is prompting, follow that. Follow His confirmation, and do not be afraid to take risks. There will be much learned through risk and stepping beyond fear in this next season being birthed now. Follow His prompting, follow the command of His word, and do not allow the fear of man to stop you from moving and taking risk at the Lord's command. Much fruit, new adventure, promotion, favor, birthing, provision, and release is going to explode through the people of God taking risks for Him and His namesake. I sense the Spirit is bringing more and more promptings in the hearts of His people to take risks where He leads, to be in that place where ultimate and complete dependence is upon him. Not only is there a deeper anchoring happening in the hearts of his people, but a radical, explosive demonstration of his glory and provision. The lid on hidden is lifting. It is time to soar into what you were created for. There. There you go.
There we go. That's what we're created for.
Mm-hmm. To go.
Absolutely.
Without wings.
Barry, real quick, Anna had a video actually about the topic we all are talking about how God was, these little attacks were going to be happening now on people and kind of testing where their hearts were to make sure that they we all go to God and not go to man to try to solve our issues.
It's part of the concept of separation, and we really need to all be very conscious that But, a lot of times I say things, and I really believe that so many of us here who are ingrained members of a rapture-centric family and church here, I think we know what to do, but I always feel like we also need to send a little bit of a message for anybody who might listen, who might not be practiced in these things. But we're all challenged, no matter who we are, from day to day occasionally, and if not continuously. So, Tana,
God is testing our hearts to see if we turn back to him with our issues or to the final separation, she said, the final separation of whether we turn to him or turn to man.
That's a great message. I'm glad you mentioned that because we can be turning to, I think one of the things that, especially earlier on here, people had to, we were turning to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and we weren't turning to Little John or Judy or anybody else who was on the show, and we're not turning to someone who might be a genuine person of faith and led by the Spirit who has a YouTube channel. What we're doing is seeking his leading and sharing in relationship his leading. His leading is what we have in common. One of the great things that I like, one of the things that he led me to understand about our, it's very real, but in a, from an electronic sense, our virtual family and church here, is that we have a tremendous advantage over most groups of people because all of the things that we have in our regular lives that might separate us don't exist in this forum, in this format. And we can freely share with the primary thing that we should have in common, and in fact do have in common, and that is, the leading of God and his Spirit. And that's why we have the kind of atmosphere we do here. It's why we have the kind of relationship we do, and it's why we're not afraid to go out in faith and do things that he encourages us to do, even if we don't understand why and it doesn't work out the way we think or hope, because, it's that Spirit that gives us this strength. So continue, everyone, to turn to the Lord in all circumstances. We speak of that in the context of love frequently. And here is a song about that.
It's very clear. Our love is here to stay. Not for all year, but ever and a day. All the radio and the telephone that we know may just be passing fancies, and then time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we going on a long, long way. In time, the rockets may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
It's very clear, our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made.
For us, our family, and our
yes.
church, here. And it's also, and it's about his yes. love for us in our context. Pat, did you have anything else you wanted to read?
Well, as always, he and I.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
If you, yeah, okay. Oh, let me see here, guys. Okay, he says, I plant everything you need in your thoughts. So take them one by one as you pluck off the petals of a daisy, and from me they will go to others, filled with my life-giving fragrance. You know what this fragrance is? It is a feeling that God loves you, and that he looks after all of you with the greatest care. Every line in our book, meaning this book here, he and I, tells about it and awakens your trust. The confidence of his children is God's glory, and their love is his kingdom. Understand this. When you say, Lord, I love you, you can go no further. But you've said everything. You can only repeat. And the Lord reigns over you. When the whole earth has declared its love, well, then his kingdom will come and the times will be fulfilled. But you must pray. You don't yet know the power of prayer. It's like a strong arm helping mine, since I allow you to help me. You remember Simeon, the Cyrenian? Together, you with me, my tenderness is imperious, isn't it? You have seen mothers hug their children as though they wanted to lock them in their hearts. What is that compared with my love? Haven't I asked you to, well, we believe in the Eucharist. He's saying, eat me every day in the Eucharist. He says, poor little ones, you don't understand. At least offer me your goodwill and try to love me a little more. Come a step nearer every morning. Picture my outstretched arms. Who is keeping you from covering the last distance between us? Oh, may it not be fear. Call me, and I'll take hold of you as I took hold of Peter. You remember, I had called him man of little faith, and I said, if you have a faith even as a grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains. Never cease to quicken your faith and hope, and you will never leave me again. Can anyone leave me once he has found me?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Chris, I know you're still on the line. The Lord really just kind of prompted me to do what I think you probably already do. Is, you know, if we even are still here tomorrow, but if you pray yourself up before you go into work, and just ask Him to give you the grace and peace to smile when you're being challenged, I think that'll have a dramatic effect both for you and in the environment that you're in. Really,
Chris,
yeah.
One thing
yeah,
you can
I
do that always.
The,
yeah.
The one thing I take from it is it. I work with. They're professing Christians. They're not what
right.
I consider Christians.
Yeah.
But they're professing Christians.
Yeah.
And
Chris.
Some of them, they see, because I get when he does stuff like this. I just bite my tongue, and then I don't speak for the rest of the day. I'm working, go about my business,
yeah.
And
can't get over that.
You know,
yeah,
and a couple of the guys, hey, you all right, man? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I just, and I looked at my one friend, and I said, I'm fine. I just, the Lord tells me, that I'm going to be going through persecution, and I didn't think it would be coming from my Christian boss, and I'm glad that it's not the persecution that other Christians around the world are having to go through. So I'm able to turn it into a witness a little bit,
yeah.
And that,
Chris,
that helps me.
Chris,
can I
tell you something?
Yeah.
When Jesus said, when someone else's face displeases you, see mine in their in their place, and talk to me in the person, charm me in the person. They won't know what hit them, but you're going to be talking to God in that person, and He is going to do something for them because you have discovered God in the person. Remember, He is the soul of our soul. He is there. He is made in a likeness and image. It's just that people haven't woken up to that, but He's there in the other person because of that. When you talk to another person, talk to God in that person. Love God in that person, okay? And just see what happens. You're going to feel better, and they're going to change because you're addressing God in their soul, okay?
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
See His face in their face. That's what He says.
Yeah. His love for us is unconditional. I'm going to try one last song, and we'll be able to come back to sign off.
Okay.
And you don't, so come get us now. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.